Grab your Bibles this morning. We're going to start in the book of James. James in chapter 1. We're going to have one verse here that's going to be our theme verse, and then we're going to scoot around all over the place. James in chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. We're just going to look at this one verse, and this is going to be the theme for this morning. It says, James 1, 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning." Let's pray before we start. Father, we do want to thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can be here and worship you, Lord, and fellowship with each other. Help us, Lord, at this time that we'd be paying attention to what you have to say. Help us, Lord, to leave here closer to you than when we came. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 17 is a verse that I've read many, many times, but I only really noticed it a couple of months ago when I was preparing for a sermon in Cairns. As a rule, I'm a pretty negative person. I'm pretty pessimistic. I've started about 17 books, but one of the books I've got that I started is called The Positives of Pessimism. It's going to be a bestseller one day, but it's going to take a bit of time to get there. There are definite positives. I am not disappointed in people because I already expect the worst. I'm prepared for all of you to be terrible to me, because that's just inside, that's what I am. But it does make it hard for me to be a happy person sometimes. It makes it hard for me to see the upsides. I see the downsides, great, which is fine. But there's upsides that I miss just everywhere, all the time, as the person I am. I miss verses like this where James tells us straightforward that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. God has to remind me of things to be thankful for. He has to shove them in my face and make sure I see them. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a grumpy person. That's just how I am. Now, the way that this verse is written, it almost commands an action. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. It should make us search for those good and perfect gifts. It's very easy for us to go, yeah, that's great, there's some good and perfect gifts. But the verse, James is a book of action. James is not a passive book. He gives you instructions, things you need to physically do. And one of those things is to get up and to look for these good and perfect gifts that God has given us. Now, there's a couple of words in here that we don't talk about much. One of the words is variableness. The idea is fickleness. I may tell you one thing and do another. God, the Father of lights, is not going to do this. Every good and perfect gift is coming from him, and he will not be fickle with his gifts. When I was growing up, my dad gave me many good things. He worked hard to provide, and I'm more appreciative of the things that he did now that I'm a dad, and I see the things that I have to go through to give my little boys things. And when I'm walking through the shops by myself, it's so hard not to buy good things for my boys. Most of the matchbox cars that I have just appeared one day because I thought, oh, they'd love that. Oh, they'll like this. When I go to Cairns by myself, I think I pretty much every time come back with two new books for the boys, and we sit there and we read the books. And as those little boys grow up, they're going to realize that those books don't appear out of thin air. The Father gets them for him. And as we look at our lives today, and the good things that are in our lives, it's easy for us as young Christians, as old blasé Christians, to just go, ah, it's a good thing, and not remember that the Father gave that to us. We're going to look this morning at three groups of things that the Father gives us. Three groups of good things. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If my voice goes out, I'll just get somebody up here who can read my writing and they can just do it the best they can. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 11. 1 Samuel 1, 11. You know what? We're going to have to go a bit further back than that. Let's go to verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. You know what? Let's go to verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now we're going to skip down to verse 9. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The first group of good things that God gives us is the good things we ask for. The things that we physically, verbally say, God, I want this thing. God, I need this thing. And the thing in Hannah's life, she had one desire, and it says it there in verse 11, a man-child, a son. She didn't ask for a whole bunch of kids. She didn't ask for anything except for one son. That's all she wanted. And we know as we go through chapter 1 that God grants this prayer. Let's go to verse 20. It says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, as we go through the book of 1 Samuel, we're not going to look too far this morning in verse Samuel because we've got other stuff to have a look at. But the little boy Samuel was a blessing to so many people. He was a blessing. And if we look, I'm just going to skip there real quick to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And this is something that I want us to think of and have in the back of our minds as we look through all these passages. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The gift of Samuel to Hannah was not just the gift of Samuel to Hannah. It was the gift of Samuel to Eli. It was the gift of Samuel to Israel. If we look at what Samuel does over the course of his life, he is the original kingmaker. Through history, different men have held that title. This is the first one, I think. Samuel the kingmaker. He anoints Saul. He anoints David. He's there through those men's lives, guiding them, showing them what they need to be doing and what they need to be not doing. And Samuel, being a blessing to those two kings, set the stage for Israel to be a blessing to the whole world. Samuel was a gift that was asked for. As Christians, we have things that we ask for. We ask the Lord, I need this thing, I want this thing. And God, the Father that we have, the Father of lights, as it says, wants to give us those things. I heard a definition of Baptists once, and it was the fear that someone somewhere is enjoying something. I don't see that in God. God the Father wants us to have things. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about Solomon, and he talks about how it is good for us to enjoy the fruits of our labor. There is supposed to be enjoyment. There is supposed to be blessing and happiness in our lives. And God the Father wants us to have those things, wants us to have a life where we can be happy and praise him. He doesn't necessarily want us to be as miserable as certain denominations want to be. But we see Samuel was one woman's desire that became the whole nation's blessing. All of Israel was blessed. They were protected from the Philistines because of the steps that Samuel took. Samuel being obedient to God and anointing the kings when he was supposed to anoint the kings. Samuel being open to the Lord's leading. If it was up to Samuel on his own, he would have probably anointed one of David's older brothers king instead. But Samuel was able to listen to the Lord through these things, through the different hardships that he goes through. And so Samuel was the gift that was asked for. Let's go to Luke in chapter 7. We're going to spend a little bit more time here. Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at the second thing here of good things. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 11. Luke 7 verse 11 says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. So firstly, we saw the good things that we ask for. And then we see here, God wants to give us the good things that we don't ask for. When I look at this lady, I see a lady, this widow walking out of this city, Nain, as just about the saddest person I can imagine. At one stage, she had a husband and she had a son. And then she didn't have a husband anymore and she was a widow. And all of her hopes and all of her dreams were pinned on this one son, this one boy growing up, being able to provide for her. I don't know if there were sisters or not, but he was the only son. This was the only boy in a society where the male brings in most of the money. This guy had a lot of pressure on him very early. He would have been a hard worker. He would have been careful around his mum, knowing that she needed to be looked after as well. And then he dies. And this poor lady in this city of Nain is completely and utterly alone all of a sudden. She had protectors and helpers, and then she didn't. And as she's walking out of the city, it didn't even cross her mind, maybe my son will just stand up before he gets buried. Maybe we won't make it that far. Maybe he'll just get up and walk home with me. Didn't even cross her mind. This is a woman at the lowest point of her entire life. And as she walks out of the city, the whole town, we see there, has compassion. Much people of the city, in verse 12, was with her. A lot of people had pity, but only God could do something about it. And Jesus, looking at this procession, says in verse 13, had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. That's a crazy thing for a stranger to say to a lady in a funeral procession. Stop crying. Didn't say it like that, probably. Says he had compassion. But then he walks up to the dead body and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I wonder what he said, the first thing. Did he go, You guys are terrible at carrying me. That was so bumpy. Or did something ache? Or did he go, Why did you guys bring me back? I was in Abraham's bosom. We don't know what he said. But immediately he started to speak. I think he probably apologized to his mum. Mum, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to die. I'll hang around a bit longer this time. We'll try and get things done this time. His mum does not care at this stage. She's still crying, but it's not sad crying anymore. And all of a sudden, the whole city sees a gift that God gave somebody that didn't even ask for it. There are so many things in our life that we don't even ask for and God gives us. We don't think to ask God for some of the gifts. For most of the gifts he gives us, every time we wake up and we can sit up. A few months ago, I was getting ready for a Sunday morning church, and I now know I'm old because I turned my head and something cracked and I couldn't move. I couldn't move for like 3 days. And every time I wake up now and something cracks, I have a slight pause and I go, Is this the end? Am I coming home now? Is it? But I don't. Every time that happens, that's a gift from God. God didn't let my neck bend that little bit further. He didn't make my wife a widow. I don't think it's going to happen from me cracking my back, but you never know. When I moved up to the Tablelands, or before I moved up to the Tablelands, the Lord already organized a job up here, a place to stay, and I wasn't even looking. I was working in Gladstone, and I came here for a holiday, and I think I was with India and Simi at a little cafe in Atherton, and I saw a locksmith across the road, and I thought, oh, I'll go say hi. You know, it's a small community. We know each other. And I walked in there and said, hey, this is who I am. How are you guys? And he goes, oh, good. Do you have a resume? I said, no, I don't have a resume. I'm just on holidays and saying hello. He goes, well, get a resume and send it back to me. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Didn't think about it too much. I talked to the guys about it. So that's kind of cool. And I went back down to Gladstone. And I walked into the workshop the first day I was back, Monday morning. I always got there early. I liked the boss. We'd sit and have a chat before work. And he's walking down the stairs towards me. And I open the door and he goes, well, this ship is sinking. If you've got anywhere to go, you better go now. I said, it's funny you should say that, because I just had a guy offer me a job up on that. He goes, well, you should probably take it. I'll write you a reference. Let's do it right now. And it was only 2 or 3 weeks from that point where I'd organized with this guy up here to come up. And because I got up here at the right time, I got to meet Abby at a wedding. We got to get married. And I wasn't asking the Lord, Lord, I need a new job. I probably was asking for a wife, if I'm being honest, but the other parts, not so much. I was asking the Lord for that, but the God gave me exceedingly abundantly more than I was asking for. I came up here and I had a chance to be part of this church again and meet you guys, and that's good and bad, but we'll figure out that later. I didn't ask God for that, but He already knew what I needed. He knew what this lady needed as soon as she walked out of the city. And He was in a position to give. And that's the beautiful thing. And we think about Christmas, and we think about gifts, and it's so exciting, but it's so much more exciting when you see a need, not just a want. You know, this person doesn't actually need a new Matchbox car. They actually need shoes. And being in a position, as we are as Christians in a first world country, to meet those needs. We've got one of our missionaries, David Vo, who has been asking us to help and asking different people to help with an outreach he has over Christmas, organizing backpacks for children with some snacks and some literature in them. We are in an opportunity, we have a position and an opportunity to help these kids, a need, not just a want. And when Jesus saw that need, he went straight for it. He didn't wait around. He didn't wait for them to get to the grave. He wasn't being dramatic. He went and he fixed that lady and he gave her the gift that she hadn't even asked for. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we have the good things we asked for. We have the good things we didn't ask for. And then we have the good things we ask not to get. 2 Corinthians 12. You all know where I'm going with this. Let's have a look. Verse 7. And this is Paul writing. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glorify in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." There was a good thing in Paul's life that he asks to get rid of. It's hard for us as Christians to have discomfort. It's hard for us as first world citizens to have discomfort. We have air conditioning that a couple of us were a bit too warm this morning, and we have 4 magic boxes that just make the whole room colder. We are very comfortable here. We don't love discomfort. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. A lot of people say it had something to do with his eyes. He may have had bad eyesight. He may have had epilepsy, different things. We don't know. And obviously, we don't need to know, because if we needed to know, they would have told us in the Bible. But we see in verse 8, he besought the Lord 3 times for it to go. That's what our prayer meetings are a lot of the time. We're praying for sick people, praying for things to go away. Maybe they're there for a reason. Maybe we shouldn't be praying for sickness to go away, just full stop. Maybe we need to be praying for sickness to go away when it's time to go away. Maybe the Lord has a reason for so many of us to be coughing up half of our guts the last few weeks. And the rest of you are going to get it. Don't think you've missed it. It's all coming. The gift God gave him was the thorn in the flesh. But that gift came with extra gifts. It came with bonus gifts. He opened up the gift of the thorn in the flesh, and out fell other little things as well. We see in verse 9, And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then let's look at verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what other gifts he got out of this? He got some humility. He got a thorn in the flesh, but he got a little bit of humility too, and that goes a long way. It gave him a little bit of gladness. It says in the end of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And you know what the biggest gift was, I think, for Paul? Was a better understanding of God's power through his weakness. Paul loves to talk about the power of God, especially through his weakness. He understood himself as a frail human being, the weaknesses, the limitations that he had. And because God gave him that thorn in the flesh, he got to see God's power further. If he had been as strong as the rest of us, or stronger than the rest of us, God's power would not have been shown as magnificently as it was because he was so weak. You see God working the most when Paul is shipwrecked, when Paul is being chased out of cities. God's strength is shown in our weakness. And that's a gift that Paul gave everybody, a better understanding of that. As we look at this, the question that came to mind of this one is, what gifts from God are we missing the point of? What do we miss when God gives us something and we go, I hate this gift. I want it in red or whatever it is. One of my, I think I was about 12 years old and I had a birthday in Victoria. And it became a saying in our family. Mum was taking a video, I think. And I'd opened up all my presents. And then Callum in the corner goes, not much good stuff. That has become a phrase in our family. Most birthdays, most Christmases, somebody somewhere will say, well, not much good stuff. As Christians, we go through our life with that attitude, don't we? You know, I'm surviving. There's not much good stuff. You know, I had 3 meals today. I sit in air conditioning. You know, my car is automatic. There's not much good stuff. We miss the point. We miss the point of so much stuff that God has given us. And when God gives us thorns in the flesh, discomfort, what's it say there? Persecutions, distresses, reproaches, infirmities. We miss the point completely. God humbling us. God trying to allow himself to work through our weaknesses, and we miss it completely. All we can think of is, I am uncomfortable and this is dumb. We don't want to be like that as Christians. We want to be like Paul. Gets the gift. God says, you're keeping the gift. And we learn from everything else along the way. So we have 3 types of gifts. We have the gifts that we ask for. We have the gifts that we don't ask for. We have the gifts that we ask to get rid of. I'll go there in a sec. If we go back to James chapter 1. The Bible is not written for theory. The Bible is written for action. The Bible is not written so that we can passively sit here and make ourselves smarter. The Bible is written so that we can do something with it. So every verse in the Bible, every passage in the Bible has a reason it's in the Bible. Nothing is there to tickle our ears. Everything is there for a reason. So as we look at this verse, let's read it again. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What do we do with that verse? Do we read it and move on? Do we put it on the wall? Do we write it on the fridge and just forget about it? Bible verses require action. They require decision. They do not require nothing. What do we do with it? We thank him. We're coming up to Christmas. There's going to be gifts flying around everywhere. So far, me and Abby don't really have to buy gifts for our kids because there's so many gifts flying at them. They don't even know whoever it's from. It could be from me. It could be from someone else. There's a present there. Open it and be quiet. There will come a stage where hopefully they understand gifts come from somewhere. and thankfulness is required in return. As God the Father gives us these gifts of just everything we can think of, it requires us to thank Him. When I was in Bible college, I don't remember if it was a prayer meeting or what it was, but I was praying with a missionary who was on campus. And I prayed, and he prayed, and he had a little boy, probably about Patty's age, probably would have been about Patty's age. And this little boy prayed, and I had my eyes closed like a good Baptist boy. My eyes were closed. I wasn't looking around. And he started praying, and he's thanked the Lord, thank you for this, and thank you for this, and thank you for Daddy. And then he says weird things, and he goes, and thank you for cucumbers. And then he goes, and thank you for the slide. And I peek, and this little boy is praying with his eyes wide open. He's looking. He's looking for things to thank the Lord for. He's not closed his eyes and trying to remember what God's done for him. He's looking, and he goes, thank you, Lord. And he's looking at a playground, and he can see the slide. And he's thankful to the Lord for the slide, and he's thanking the Lord. As Christians, we pray with our eyes closed a little bit too much. When we're praying, let's pray a little bit more with our eyes open. Let's look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing, what He's provided, what He's protected us from, and thank Him for those things. We don't need to be so stunted in our prayers. Our prayers should be growing. We should be looking and have that childlike wonder at the things that the Father of lights has given unto us. We live in such a consumer-oriented world. Every billboard, every ad on the radio and TV wants you to buy a brand new thing. And you know it's going to break in about 6 weeks. I bought my boys a little, I don't know what you call them, they were at a bookshop. They were a plastic box with a little push button, and you shoot the little rings around in the water and you try and loop them. Oh, I had more fun than they did. One lasted about 10 minutes. It dropped on the ground and the water came out. The other one lasted until we got home, and I think one of them drank the water out of it. I'm not really sure. It's gone either way. But that's how the things are made today. They're made in such a way that you use it, you get rid of it, you get a new one. And you're not thankful in the whole process because it's all about you. All the ads are about you. You deserve this. You deserve shinier, more luscious hair. You deserve a better car. You deserve whatever it is. It's all about you consuming this one thing. Use it, lose it, get another one, and just continue that cycle forever. As Christians, we don't want to be like that. We want to look at the things God has given us, take a step back, and go, wow, God's given me this, and He's given me this. And I've got to tell you guys, this has been a rough year. I've really struggled this year with many different things. And this verse has been such a blessing to me, to make me look. And instead of looking at all the things that I'm struggling with, look at my wife and my little kids, who are happy to see me most of the time. And look at the church that I have, and look at the job that I have, and look at the vehicles that we have, and the safety and the laws that protect us. And we look, and this verse tells us, the first word in verse 17, every. Not some. Not most, not a little bit, every. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. As we as Christians stop, take a step back and look at the things God has done and realize and say to ourselves, God did that. God gave me that. Yes, someone else might have helped, but God gave me that. God allowed that good and perfect thing to make it to me. Let's go to John really quick and we're just about done. John, and we're going to look at the most well-known verse in the Bible, John chapter 3. And we're going to look at the greatest gift. John 3 and verse 16, we can almost all quote it, but I need you guys to see that it's in the Bible and it's not just a man up the front telling you things. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave His Son, God the Father of lights, gave a gift of His Son, given at great cost, the cost of His Son, to whosoever. This is the greatest and this is the most perfect gift that we as human beings could ever accept. When we think of all the good and perfect gifts that the Lord has given us, and we look here in verse 16 of chapter 3 and see the best gift, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is such a crazy thing to think about. And the fact that somebody had to die so that we could have everlasting life is a bit of a mind trip. But when we think about James chapter 1, verse 17, talking about every good and every perfect gift, what should come to our mind this time of year, especially as gifts are flying, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, is that was the good and perfect gift brought down to us. Jesus came here, and we celebrate this time of year, but Jesus didn't come to be born in a manger. He came to die. And so we think about this time of year as His birth. But as we talked about in Sunday school, all the little kids were talking about swaddling clothes and frankincense and myrrh and all these little things pointing towards what Jesus actually came for. He came to die so that we could have everlasting life. Let's read John 3:16 one more time, then we'll pray and close. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank You so much for this day that You've given us. Thank You for the gifts that You continually drop upon us. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for salvation, Lord. I pray that You'd be with us. Help us, Lord, at this time to be drawing closer to You. Help us to be finding out about Your Son if we don't already know. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.